love is sunburnt country, a land of sweeping plains, of ragged mountain ranges, of droughts and flooding rains. I love her far horizons, I love her jewel sea, her beauty and her terror, the wide brown land for me. That was a popular stanza excerpted from My Country, one of the best known works of poetry in Australia by Dorothy McKellar, which perfectly captures the natural beauty and the heart and spirit of Australia. Awe-inspiring, surreal, breathtaking, these are words that are used to describe the Australian land and its coastline. The Great Barrier Reef, located in the Coral Sea off the northeast coastline, is the largest natural feature on Earth, stretching more than 2,300 kilometres. The Australian outback, with its spectacular scenery and primal mythology, has long been revered as one of the most beautiful places on Earth. Heading further inland to Australia's Red Centre, Ayers Rock or Uluru, a giant sandstone monolith, is a spectacular sight which changes colour according to the position of the sun. The massive rock domes date back 500 million years and are rich in indigenous artwork and lore. Australians have a warm, light-hearted and generous nature. Anywhere you go, you will be greeted with a friendly "G'day mate." It's comforting to know that you have 20 million friends who will always be there if needed. When the bushfires broke out and continued to burn for 49 days in Victoria, Australia, in late 2006 and early 2007, Supreme Master Qinghai expressed her concerns and sent help to the victims. Our association members in Sydney and Melbourne quickly contributed financially to the Country Fire Authority and local fire stations to help out with the firefighting efforts. To this day, our association members continue to be active members in the community and help out with the promotion of a healthy lifestyle through the vegetarian diet at different events throughout the year. And now, please join us on Words of Wisdom today for an insightful lecture entitled "Seek You First the Kingdom of God," delivered by Supreme Master Qinghai in Sydney, Australia on March 17, 1993.
Trong thế kỷ thứ 21 này, chúng tôi được đào tạo trong một môi trường khoa học. Chúng tôi chỉ tin qua những bằng chứng, những thí nghiệm cụ thể. Chúng tôi hoàn toàn bác bỏ những hình thức dị đoan mê tín hay tôn sùng cá nhân. Nhưng với sư phụ Thanh Hải và pháp môn mà Ngài truyền dạy, chúng tôi đã gặt hái những kết quả vô cùng kỳ diệu, bất khả tư nghị. Làm sao chúng tôi có thể cắt nghĩa cho được hiện tượng một chiếc xe chạy với vận tốc 100 cây số một giờ, bất thình lình một bánh trước bị nổ, mà chiếc xe vẫn ngừng lại một cách an toàn và những đệ tử ngồi bên trong vẫn không hề hấn gì? Và làm sao chúng tôi cắt nghĩa cho được sự kiện thấy lại hình ảnh của những người thân đạo Phật trở về cảm ơn với gương mặt rạng rỡ vui tươi? Những sự việc trên chỉ có thể cắt nghĩa rằng hóa thân của sư phụ ở khắp mọi nơi, từ cõi vô hình cho đến thế giới hữu hình, và sẵn sàng giúp đỡ đến tất cả những ai thành tâm nhớ đến Ngài. Và pháp môn Quán Âm trở thành một phương tiện hữu hiệu để báo ơn tổ tiên ông bà, như chúng ta vẫn thường nói: nhất nhân chứng đắc cụ uyển thăng. Thật ra cũng không có gì khác biệt giữa những người tu tập pháp môn này và những người không tu tập. Chúng tôi cũng biết thưởng thức thế giới này, cũng ham muốn, nhưng giờ đây chúng tôi chuyển những ham muốn ấy trở thành những ham muốn cao thượng hơn. Và chúng tôi cũng không tha thiết lắm với sự tranh luận, bởi vì sự tranh luận cũng bị giới hạn trong ngôn ngữ. Làm sao so sánh cho được với những chứng nghiệm của tâm linh? Những lỗi lầm chúng tôi cũng mắc phải, nhưng chúng tôi may mắn nhận được những lỗi lầm ấy qua những lúc thiền định. Kính thưa quý vị, sự quyến luyến về quê hương khó mà phai lạc trong tâm hồn của chúng ta. Chúng ta hãnh diện về nơi chôn nhau cắt rúng, dù nơi đó là một mảnh đất cằn cỗi, nắng hạn, hay là những cánh đồng bao la bát ngát, màu mỡ được bồi đắp bằng những con sông dài xinh xắn. Dù chăng đi nữa, những hình ảnh đó cũng là một phần của đời sống chúng ta. Chúng luôn luôn hiện diện trong tâm thức trong suốt một kiếp này. Rồi đây, qua những lần luân hồi, chúng ta lại có thêm những quê hương mới để mà nhớ nhung. Và cũng bởi vì màn vô minh dày đặc mà chúng ta quên hẳn rằng chúng ta còn có một quê hương đích thực, quê hương mà chúng ta cùng lớn lên, cùng chung kỷ niệm, mà chúng ta đã quên, quên hẳn đi trong những ngày ngập lặng trong thế giới ta bà này. Chúng tôi muốn nói đến một quê hương yêu dấu tên gọi là Thiên Quốc, là thiên đường, là thế giới cực lạc, A Di Đà, là Niết Bàn, là nơi mà tiếng khổ cũng không hà huống chi là chịu khổ. Quê hương này rất xa mà cũng rất gần. Rất xa là bởi vì ngộ nhận mà chúng ta cho rằng không có thực, nó chỉ gợi nhớ qua những chuyện thần tiên cổ tích, để rồi chúng ta mặc nhiên chấp nhận không có một ai có thể đến nơi ấy được trừ Phật và Chúa mà thôi. Và cũng rất cần ngày hôm nay sư phụ chúng tôi sẽ chỉ dạy cho chúng ta phương cách để trở về quê hương mà mọi người có thể viếng thăm ngay trong kiếp này. Chúng tôi hết sức hân hoan giới thiệu với quý vị sư phụ Thanh Hải, là người mà truyền rạ các pháp môn Quán Âm để giúp cho chúng ta thoát khỏi dòng sinh tử luân hồi. Sư phụ Thanh Hải.
This is not my wish to be in Australia. So whatever happened, please even forgive me. Even if I speak something that you do not think you agree with, or that you do not think you like it. It's also all the will of God, because I have no desire to come here. I would prefer to sit in a mountain somewhere, or in my room, or next to the river, or do whatever, just be like you, having a very quiet, ordinary life. And because I believe each one has got kingdom already, but nothing for me to do at all in this world. But God's will is always different. He dictates the way I look, the way I wear, what I wear today, tomorrow, where I should go next month, and etc. I have just been reading some books sometimes, you know, like Maharamana Maharshi. Yes, he passed away long ago. Probably many of you know his name through books, and he was a great enlightened person. And he never traveled abroad. I don't blame him. Mm. He just stayed in his house, and a few people come visited him. A handful of European and Indian people visited him. And some people asked me, why should the master never go out and teach his way of enlightenment for people? If he's supposed to have compassion at all, or wisdom at all. Well, at that time I thought, yeah, they're right. If the master is enlightened and compassionate and have love, and then he should come out. But then he never did. He said, what for? What for? If he comes out and people not necessarily believe him, and what can he say? He can't introduce himself as, I'm an enlightened master and I have such and such power and so on and so. If he does, people probably think he's telling a story, fairy tale. And if he doesn't, how do people understand that he's enlightened? It's very difficult for him to speak of himself, even though he's sure of himself. When a master or anyone who goes out in the public to try to share something that they sincerely believe in, they mostly meet with opposition, a misunderstanding. That's why people kill Jesus, for example. But nowadays, in this century, it is ordained that no master should be killed anymore. We are in a more civilized age, and no longer in a barbarous stage of development. I'm glad that it is so, that it's not necessary to shed blood in order to rescue the so-called sinners. And we should not even demand that in any way, or we should not even think of that way anymore. In each century, human beings continue to develop as more and more master grace our earth and brought enlightenment to the minds of the majority of the people who were ready, who forsake the flesh for the spirit, who would like to learn to die so that they will begin to live. Most of the time, when I am willed by God to go around like this, exposing myself to the public for all kind of comments, I'm not unwilling to go, but sometimes the game is too serious and most people play too seriously, so it's no fun. Otherwise, I would have enjoyed and combined business with pleasure and had a little bit more fun, by the way. But most of us are too serious. We play the game of life and we learn the lesson in our worldly, this so-called drama is too seriously. Many people cannot laugh, yeah, and that they are not cry sometimes for fearing other people take advantage of their emotion. But it is the correct so, because emotion is the thing that we should fear. Because of emotion, we tend to act overexcitedly about some matter that we do not agree, or we think that is not correct, or is not according to our opinion. Because of emotion, some of the world wars has broken. Apart from power struggle, of course, economical reason, there is emotion in it. Sometimes it starts just between two or three people or a group, and then we have war. We started from there. Sometimes religious wars also started through or by or from emotion. These are the things sometimes we should take time to consider and ponder whether it is worthwhile. Sometimes some people suggest that we forsake something or sacrifice something in order to attain something else, maybe of greater value, and we probably gone berserk. We didn't like it, and we react very emotionally so. Of course, we have forgotten that we can't worship both the world and God. We couldn't forsake the flesh for the spirit, then we have not begun to live the eternal life. It is difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. What does it mean by rich man? The comfortable life, the easygoing style, the material fulfillment of our daily life. But these things we can all have, we can all have. It just probably we can minimize so that our life will become more spiritual, more relaxed, so that we become closer to God. Take for example the vegetarian diet that I'm always in trouble with. I wish I could give you without, because it costs you more trouble than I'm asking for. It costs trouble everywhere just because that's a piece of beef. Nothing better than that. Now, for example, that diet, it is scientifically proved that it's good for our health even, and it's economically beneficial to the whole world. It's not me who says, it's all these scientifics and researchers who say these things. And you may look at these bookstores and find these informations concerning this yourself, which are plenty in your country, I believe. In English language, you can find anything today which scientifically approved and tested. And also, from many standpoints, if you have been associated with yogis and other practicing the peace of mind, you would, of course, know before I mention even that all of them, or most of them, prefer or know that the vegetarian diet is better, is the best when they meditate, when they want to practice peace of mind. Because the flesh diet is more active. There are many food, just like medicine, they have different effect on the body. For example, If we say these don't have any effect at all, then it is unscientific. If nothing affects us through the things we put in our mouth, then if we drink poison, we will not die. Or we take anesthetic, we will not be unconscious for a while, so that the doctor gives us operation and we feel nothing about it. So there are certain things in life, materially, will affect our state of consciousness as well as our body, and also mental. When we take drug, we are very blurred and sometimes unconscious. We take alcohol, then we're drunk, sometimes we have headache, or we can't walk straight. Yeah, certain kind of things in the material kingdom will affect us more or less, that you know. Therefore, the food we take also affects us mentally, bodily, also spiritually. And this has been proved since the time immemorial. It's not me who decide who eats what. I'm just offering the way to complete awareness of your own great self. Should you willing and like, love to take it. And we do this with all our own financial resource. We do not expect anything from you at all. I've earned all my money by painting, by interior design, and all my disciples have to work so that we can make some contribution for the world, to which we owe a lot of love and nourishment since we are a child. I'm doing you no benefit. I'm just following the will of God, also to contribute something to the world while I am still here. So take it as our goodwill, or leave it as your free will. And we no need to make a lot of fuss over a piece of flesh. If you wish to eat them, it's fine. The whole world eat them. I can't be concerned so much. And I can't tell everybody to stop it. I have no dream to do it. I'm only here because God made me to be here. Otherwise, to me, the world is all right. God runs it. I have no concern. Before, I had illusion about saving the world. That's why I left home and want to get enlightenment, etc., because I saw so much suffering around the world. But after a few years now, I understand it's all God's will and nothing for me to do at all. But He made me do something. Perhaps if He let me sit idle somewhere in the mountain, it's also no good. I will also be rotten and also die one day, so He made me die on the road, perhaps. So all these things are easily understood when we are in a very calm state of mind and put aside our excitement and prejudice. In the ancient time, if we want to learn this kind of enlightening method, it's not easy. Therefore, most of the people make a myth out of enlightenment that is reserved only for some exclusive people who look like angel and saintly, with veil flowing and white robe flowing and walking in the air and things like that. Well, it should be. Maybe judging from my experience around the world, it should be. It's so difficult to convey to the people at large how easy it is, since they have been so used to with struggle and complicated life. But I can assure you again and again, it's very easy. If I can do it, such a small person like me, you can do it probably better. You have more strength. Your brain is bigger than me, judging from size. You're taller, stronger, and you have accomplished more than I have in your life. your country is more civilized than perhaps my country. I'm supposed to be my bodily country. My country is much more civilized than any country on earth. But that I can't prove to you, so I don't talk about it. I can prove to you if you come with me, yes. But I can't prove if you stay here and don't want to follow. I can't show you London unless you come with me, for example, yes. In the old times, most of the masters, they do not go publicly to preach what they know. First, for a simple reason, that any master would believe that there's nothing to do for them. They have become accustomed to looking upon all brothers and sisters as God manifestation. And all of them has God inside. Therefore, they feel they have absolutely nothing to do. Lao Tzu, he says the same. You see, there's nothing to do under the sun, under heaven, yes. But then again and again, sometimes people discover them, or it is by the will of God that the people discover them. Then they will be in the spotlight. And then one by one, two by two, and then the so-called master will be forced into the open. Because of the media and so many inconveniences about politics and the situation prevailing at that time, so not many masters truly are widely known around the world. We didn't have enough communication, we didn't have enough the transportation convenience. Therefore, most people, whoever can know these kind of master, look upon them as sacred, as holy, as rare, as respected, very rare species. Nowadays, if a master do the same thing, then of course only a handful of people know. But then it's still more than the olden day when there is no communication system available. In the old time, we do not have enough material comfort. Therefore, there's not much to cling to, not much to be attached to, or it's not hard to put down. And today, we have too much of these available to us. It is very good that we have advanced to a greater height of civilization. But it is sometimes, in some occasion, it may be a good hindrance to our spiritual quest. Buddha also say, if you have such a comfortable life, if you're in heaven, it's difficult to practice to become Buddha. Means it's difficult to attain the complete awareness. We may be able to attain part of it. That's what he meant, but not the complete enlightenment. The complete enlightenment, of course, has its price. Our fellow practitioners also have many different degrees. Those who truly dedicate their life for spiritual practice, of course, they forsake everything that is not conducive to spiritual attainment. Some would like to just have a little bit of benefit without sacrificing too much. So we have two types of practitioners. These two types, of course, we give them different guidance according to their wish. So for example, in Singapore, we would give initiation to the people who willingly commit themselves wholeheartedly to the spiritual practice. And the other people also who say, oh Master, we like very much, but we don't know we can be vegetarian and so yet, so please, can we be 10 days a month or whenever convenience? I say, yes, of course, as you wish. And so they also want me to teach them some so-called convenient method. So we divide it into two groups, yes. One is completely vegetarian and the other is not. And then they also can mix together and meditate and use the same center. Most of us so great inside, but we do not care to recognize it. That is all. Therefore, there is a difference between the so-called saint and the ordinary also saint. We call some people saints when they are aware of their inner inheritance from heaven, and they can make use of this power for their benefit, or for the benefit of the immediate entourage, and for the benefit of their country and the whole world. Such a saint not necessarily go out and preaching to the public. He may just sit somewhere and people will go and find him, although a little bit limited in number. And the saint's teaching is not necessary to use language. Language is very secondary in nature in conveying the message of heaven. There is one way, the highest way, is conveying from inside and using the wisdom, using the heavenly language to convey, and that doesn't need the master present nor master speech. But in our world, if we do not use language, sometimes people cannot understand, cannot clear the doubt in their intellectual understanding or in their mind. Therefore, language is a second choice in some cases. But when it comes to actual transmission or recognizing the self, the master doesn't need to speak. Both have to be silent, the so-called master and the so-called disciple. Both of them speak in silence. And that is the highest form of speech. It's only when any master go out in the public that people expect him to speak, then the master has to do so. But while speaking, there is other thing underground, in silence, is also given to the ready audience, the disciples. Therefore, some people will see some wonders while listening to the lecture, or seeing the master radiating light, or seeing the whole lecture hall filled with light, and all the people kind of engulfed in the light. In this material world, we often ask for material miracles. Therefore, perhaps sometimes the master has to resort to miracles in order to attract people to come and then give them something immaterial. But that's a very rare case. For example, there is a master who always works miracles, and people don't talk about his greatness or his enlightenment, just talk about miracles all the time. I say, do you know such and such? Oh, he can do this, he can materialize that, and all you hear about is ring and necklace and all kind of things, and you hear nothing from heaven. That can have a side effect on the people who are too materialistic minded. Therefore, most of the master avoid to use miracles, or use it in silence and underground. And only the one who receive it knows it. And mostly the people around him or her doesn't know. Even the very close disciples or the close to the beneficiary, doesn't know, except when they are together. For example, in an accident or something like that, then they would know.
you for your company on today's episode of Words of Wisdom. Please tune in tomorrow for part two of this fascinating lecture on Seek You First the Kingdom of God. And now, stay tuned for a journey through aesthetic realms, coming up next on Supreme Master Television. May your life be filled with heaven's love and light.
Precious viewers, that is welcome in Norwegian, a language spoken in Norway, Northern Europe. It's a blessing to have you with us today on Noteworthy News, constructive news for a better world.
Constructive news for a peaceful world. From Los Angeles, California, USA, Supreme Master Television brings you wonderful news from around the globe.
Our programs can be viewed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on 14 satellite platforms that reach hundreds of millions of households around the world. In Europe, Eurobird at 28.5 degrees east, Astra 1 on Hotbird 6. In England, Wales, Scotland, Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland, BSkyB channel 887. Australia, New Zealand, Optus D2. Africa, Intelsat 10 Ku band and Intelsat 10 C band. The Middle East and Northern Africa, Eurobird 2 and Hotbird 6. Asia, Intelsat 10 C band, ABS, Asiasat 2 and Asiasat 3S. North America, Galaxy 25. Central and South America, Hispasat and Intelsat 907. We are also available online at suprememastertv.com with high-quality video and streaming audio broadcasts.
In today's news, the Netherlands donates 16 million euros to support peace-building in the Democratic Republic of Congo. In education news, the British government pledges 40 million euros to help students gain internet access. In animal welfare news, animal lover Mr. Roger James donates $109,000 to build a no-kill animal shelter. And stay tuned for today's Shining World Leadership segment, featuring Molly Pasa Cantando, an 8-year-old girl who does her part in reducing the effects of global warming. Please tune in for all this and more on Supreme Master Television, your positive TV channel.
Today, February 11th, is the Hindu festival of Sarasvati Puja, also known as Vasan Panchami. This special day is in honor of Sarasvati, the Hindu goddess of knowledge, music and the arts. Sarasvati is the consort of Brahma, the Hindu god of creation. Goddess Sarasvati is worshipped for the attainment of the highest knowledge, that of spiritual enlightenment. Sarasvati Puja is thought to be an auspicious day for children to get their first lessons of reading and writing. Schools hold special events and many people go to temples to worship the goddess on this day. Sarasvati Puja is also representative of the coming of spring. Yellow is considered to be a very important color on this day, symbolizing the soon-to-emerge spring crops. Young and old both join in the merriment of flying kites. May this Sarasvati Puja be a joyous one, with God blessing all with the highest knowledge of spiritual enlightenment.
Ryan News, Supreme Master Qinghai International Association Relief News from the United States. Last Friday, multiple tornadoes landed over a region of 6 southern U.S. states with powerful winds of up to 150 miles or 240 kilometers per hour. Dozens have lost their lives, with many more losing all their possessions. Deeply concerned for those affected, Supreme Master Qinghai immediately donated $20,000 and dispatched a relief team of our association members to deliver basic necessities to the victims in the most affected areas. With Master's permission, we'd like to share with viewers this relief report.
February 9, 2008. Our most loving and compassionate Master, regarding tornadoes in southern USA, in the biggest storm of its kind in 9 years, last Tuesday and Wednesday, over 60 different tornadoes and severe thunderstorms swept across the U.S. South. A to loss of life, rising to 57 people and more than 150 injured. Thankfully, many communities had ample notification of the storms due to the good warning systems in place by the government. We express our gratitude for Master's concern and generosity in providing relief aid of $20,000 to help the tornado victims. Our association members from Ohio, Dallas, and Georgia have now completed the relief work in Tennessee and Alabama. We will send an update for the relief work in Kentucky, Mississippi, and Arkansas. One team went to Alabama, where a tornado traveled a 10-mile path, hitting 80 homes and killing one person. The team went to various shelters and distributed alternative living handbags filled with necessities such as socks, heating pads, toothbrushes, bottled water, and clean wipes. The volunteers at one community center were appreciative upon receiving $500 to help purchase building materials for those who lost roofs, windows, and other parts of their homes in their tornadoes. We went to the places with the most devastation in Tennessee and tried to go to every house to address the people's needs. We are most thankful for Master's compassionate contribution, which allowed us to offer immediate help to the affected people. People asked for supplies such as gloves to remove debris and cleanup. We purchased those as well as blankets, since the electricity was out in many areas. For many of the people in need, we were able to give cash directly as well. Some people were left with nothing, and some did not have insurance. They were so grateful for the financial assistance that they burst into tears on the spot. One veterinarian lady, who is also a vegetarian, sent a special thanks to Master and asked Supreme Master Qinghai to please pray for all the tornado victims in the South to comfort them emotionally. We presented her $500 because she needs to rebuild her animal hospital. Thankfully, all the animals in the hospital were unharmed in the tornado. After she met us, the veterinarian said she felt confident that she would be able to rebuild and that everything would be fine. A lot of people spoke of God and said that God saved them. They said things like, "Thank God I'm still alive. Thank God for saving me. And God watched over me." We are so thankful for Master's love to these people. Although many were deeply emotional when we first arrived, through God's blessings, they were given hope and comfort. With our gratitude and love, Ohio, Dallas, and Georgia relief teams.
We sincerely thank Supreme Master Qinghai for your compassionate assistance for those affected and for allowing us to share this updated relief report with our loving viewers who are surely concerned and relieved to know about the well-being of fellow humans in this case. We also thank Supreme Master Qinghai International Association's Foreign Group for current informative reports. We pray to God to comfort the affected Americans, especially those who have lost their loved ones. May they keep their strong faith in the Most High's grace as they recover.
Pope sends donation to Bolivia. Pope Benedict XVI has sent a $50,000 donation to help those affected by natural disasters in Bolivia. Bolivian bishops will distribute the funds to the families affected. In his Lenten message, His Holiness reflected an almsgiving as an act of love for God and one's neighbors. Thank you, Your Holiness and Bolivian bishops. May God bless you for your compassionate care. May your shining actions bring God's love and comfort to the people of Bolivia in their time of need.
Chinese soldiers come to the rescue. About 3,000 Chinese soldiers and other workers are working non-stop in freezing temperatures to fix a downed 500 kilovolt power line. The repairs are being carried out at high elevation in areas covered with 60 centimeters of snow. Nonetheless, Tang Wenquan, general manager of the Hubei Electrical Power Company, said he was determined, with the army's help, to have the line up again by the end of February. Heaven bless Hubei Electrical Power Company personnel and China's soldiers for being heroes of peace as you return light and warmth to the people. We extend our heartfelt appreciation and wish your noble and courageous efforts the reward of quick power restoration. Supreme Master Qinghai wants to convey this message of gratitude to all governments, organizations, and relief workers from every corner of the world. Thank you, all the international help that brings care and necessities to afflicted victims. Thank you, all the relief workers, for taking time and forsaking your own comfort, even traveling great distance on unfavorable roads and conditions, to bring love and assistance to people in time of need. May heaven bless you abundantly for your generosity and noble sacrifice.
Germany's Federal Foreign Office provides aid to the people of Chad. A 1 million euro donation has been made to offer immediate humanitarian assistance to the internally displaced persons of Chad. The funds will be used to provide drinking water, food, household equipment, and hygiene items, distributed to the International Committee of the Red Cross, ICRC. Many thanks and God's blessings, Germany and the ICRC, for your kind contribution to help the people of Chad. May true peace and tranquility soon return to the nation.
Nebraska court prohibits the use of electric chair. The Supreme Court of Nebraska ruled that the use of the electric chair, the only execution method used in the state, violates human dignity and is unconstitutional. We respectfully send our gratitude, Supreme Court of Nebraska, for this merciful ruling. We pray for your continued clemency in upholding the value of all life.
Sri Lankan asylum seekers welcomed in Brisbane, Australia. With the closure of the last offshore center in the Pacific island of Nauru on Friday, the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, UNHCR, praised Australia for welcoming the Sri Lankan people to live in her lands. Mr. Richard Tao, the regional head of UNHCR, said, "This goes a long way to show Australia as a humane society and in keeping with its international obligations. God bless you, Australia, for opening your hearts to those seeking refuge. May Sri Lankan people find much stability, love, and happiness in their new home."
A 17-year-old Filipino student helps build homes for those in need. Alexandra Madrigal Oduke, a 17-year-old Habitat for Humanity volunteer from Manila in the Philippines, helped build homes in nearby communities with a charity group for a whole summer. She enjoyed her experience so much that she already enrolled with the Philippines National Office to come back next summer. Alexandra even hosted a Habitat birthday building party that was attended by the nation's senator, governor, and a celebrated racer. Hooray for your accomplishments and wonderful enthusiasm, Alexandra. May your shining acts of humanitarianism bring much hope and love to the deserving recipients of newly built cozy homes.
Time to act. Canadian province takes action to protect polar bears. Manitoba, a province in western Canada, declared the polar bear to be a threatened species. Development along the Arctic coast will now be limited so that the polar bears who are being affected by global warming can be better protected. The U.S. Geological Survey has reported that two-thirds of the Earth's polar bear population could disappear by the year 2050 due to melting ice caused by climate change. We greatly appreciate Manitoba for taking this urgent action to protect our beautiful and unique polar bear co-inhabitants. They are surely grateful for your caring love. May all beings be graced to live together in harmony and happiness.
Malawi unveils climate change strategy. Malawi's president, Bingu Wa Mutharika, has announced a national plan to address climate change called the National Adaptation Programs of Action, or NAPA. NAPA will promote sustainable rural development, reforestation, and sand water management. Congratulations and many thanks, Malawi, for on this comprehensive forward-thinking plan. May your eco-friendly endeavors help bring sustainable health to our earth and all inhabitants.
New line of hybrid vehicles from India's Tata Motors. Tata Motors is developing hybrid and completely electric vehicles for both passenger and commercial use, while exploring the proper use of alternative fuels. This is part of the company's New Green Technologies program that sets specific goals over an 8-year period. Bravo, Tata Motors, and best wishes to your staff as you embark on a new path of green endeavors.
United Arab Emirates finds ways to save water. During a recent presentation on water conservation in the Dubai municipality, Minister of Environment and Water Dr. Mohammed Said Al-Kindi said the new developments will reuse wastewater for irrigation and other purposes. He emphasized the importance of water conservation in the United Arab Emirates, where fresh water is increasingly scarce. Thank you, Dr. Al-Kindi and the United Arab Emirates, for your stellar efforts to preserve precious water resources. May Allah bless your conservation measures with green success.
China makes plans to protect half of her wetlands by 2010. State Forestry Administration Director Zha Jibang said China is taking the necessary steps towards protecting half of her diverse national wetlands by 2010 and that 90% will be safeguarded by 2030. With 18 national wetland parks and more than 470 national reserves, China has the largest area of wetlands in Asia. Our sincere appreciation, China, for prioritizing the preservation of our eco-precious wetlands. May these natural areas soon be restored to their pristine state.
Local authorities in Ireland share accomplishments in waste management. Organized by Ireland's Environmental Protection Agency, or EPA, a meeting was held to coordinate the efforts being made by local agencies in waste prevention promotion and resource efficiency. Recycling has already been adopted successfully as a practice, with the next step being to demonstrate the financial advantages of further resource management. We thank the local authorities of Ireland for your sincere concern in maintaining our beautiful environment. May God bless the Emerald Isle to remain evergreen.
Ontario offers local incentives for tree planting to counteract climate change. In Owen Sound, Canada, the Trees Ontario Group is hosting a free workshop to teach local residents tree planting techniques. Those attending will also be introduced to the Managed Forest Tax Incentive programs, which offers up to 75% reduction in property taxes for tree planting to offset global warming. What a great idea! Bravo, Ontario agencies in Canada, for this generous opportunity. May more and more trees flourish to beautify and preserve the health of your lovely land.
Weatherman worries global warming may cause humans to flee Earth. Good morning, America's weather anchor Sam Champion recently questioned whether global warming might cause the ultimate climate disaster and drive humans to desert Earth and live in space. Champion and environmentalist Mark Linus stated, "If the world warms by 6 degrees, it would be the ultimate climate disaster. Natural disasters become routine, and catastrophic flooding leaves major cities abandoned." Thank you, Mr. Champion, for presenting this important warnings about climate change. May we all be inspired to take immediate action to maintain our beautiful and precious home. China leads in eco-city development. With encouragement and support from Chinese government, China is collaborating with many different countries and is currently a world leader in eco-projects to build sustainable cities. Some projects also emphasize building strong communities and work with the residents to make environmental concerns a priority. Dr. Paul Downton, head architect and urban ecologist of Australia-based Ecopolis Architects, said, "China is the absolute visionary leader in this field. Lots of people elsewhere are talking about eco-cities, but China is actually doing it. Many thanks, Chinese leaders and developers, for your commitment to create a greener China. May heaven bless your endeavors to beautify the nation through sustainable living."
Prominent environmental scientist calls for responsible political leadership. During an environmental conference in Montreal, Canada last Thursday, award-winning scientist Dr. David Suzuki stated that all governments should pay attention to the scientific facts behind climate change. Participants responded with resounding support for the need for more or new leadership to take responsibility. "Thank you, Dr. Suzuki, for bravely voicing the urgency of the reality we are facing. We respectfully wish all representatives in office extra courage and wisdom in their leadership roles."
Ireland's government supports renewable wind energy. To simulate the growth of offshore wind farms, Ireland is subsidizing the industry with a supportive price of $203 per megawatt hour. This is part of a greater scheme to lessen the country's dependence on imported fossil fuel and take advantage of local renewable energy sources. "We salute you, Ireland, for evolving your country towards a greener future. May the people flourish in grace and sustainable prosperity."
England focuses on water metering measures. Environment Secretary Hilary Benn has called for water meters to be installed in homes in areas that have experienced a shortage of water. Secretary Benn said, "Securing and maintaining water supplies is vital to the prosperity of the country and to the health of people and the environment." "Secretary Benn, we respectfully laud your actions to ensure a sustainable water supply for our future generations. May God bless the United Kingdom with continuous harmony and prosperity."
U.S. Interfaith Climate Action Network unifies in global warming cause. A growing network of approximately 20 Massachusetts interfaith communities, such as Islam, Jewish, Roman Catholic, Quaker, and others, have come together in a unified vision of making peace with the earth. Nancy Banks, executive director of the Unitarian Universalist Massachusetts Action Network, said, "Each faith tradition speaks to the responsibility that we have to protect this great gift that we've been given. Our sincere gratitude, Massachusetts Interfaith Climate Action Network, for your tireless efforts in initiating the immediate action needed to protect our earth. May the heavens bless you with fruitful results."
China promotes ways to save water. To improve water balance and sufficiency, China is promoting many approaches to save water. These include improving irrigation efficiency, using reclaimed water in urban areas, building roads that allow water to permeate into soil, and raising awareness through public education on water saving. "We extend our appreciation, China, and heaven bless your efforts to save the world's valuable resources. May your people be blessed with plentiful supplies of this clear heavenly nectar."
Economist says new technologies are the solution to climate change. At the Delhi Sustainable Development Summit in India, UN official Jeffrey Sachs, director of the Earth Institute, said that new technologies are the answer for climate change and continued economic development. These technologies include carbon capture and sequestration, or CCS, high-mileage automobiles and hybrid cars, and concentrated solar power. Professor Sachs said policymakers must take immediate action to focus on technological advancement and provide research and development funding for green projects. "Our sincere gratitude, Professor Sachs, for your inspirational words. We pray for our world's ever more sustainable development."
First Hindu Construction in Wisconsin, USA wins award for a green building renovation using products made of recycled materials and reducing water usage by 30%.
The Clean Tech Revolution, a book by U.S. eco-consultant Ron Pernick and journalist Clint Wilder, states that going green is transforming our world and can be easy to achieve.
Children in California, USA's hot, arid inner valleys are switching from selling candy at school fundraisers to drought-tolerant plants for eco-mini gardens.
In the U.S., where convention attendees generate four times the carbon emissions they do at home, interest in business for eco-friendly meeting planning is skyrocketing.
Centralia College in Washington State, USA is training a new generation of green-collar workers for the evolving eco-friendly energy industry.
Trevor Bayliss, the British inventor of a wind-up radio, has created a wind-up device that can play 500 songs, videos, provide light, and charge a phone.
Tickets sell out for a Texas USA Home Products show featuring many solutions for reducing energy usage and green building.
Pasadena, California, USA, which is one of the first U.S. cities to approve a green building ordinance, is now enacting stronger measures.
In Supreme Master Qinghai International Association news from Oregon, USA, our association members from Oregon, USA, invited the women and children from a local shelter to have lunch at the Sweet Lemon Bistro, a vegetarian restaurant owned by one of our association members. The shelter also received Supreme Master Qinghai's number one best-selling books, The Birds in My Life and The Dogs in My Life. Ms. Shelley Massarello, the director of the shelter Yolanda House, wrote a touching letter to Supreme Master Qinghai, expressing the happiness of the guests. Our association members were thankful for the opportunity to share with others and appreciated the work of the staff at Yolanda House. May all be blessed.
In world news, the Netherlands donates 16 million euros to support peace-building projects in the Democratic Republic of Congo. The funds will support infrastructure repair and security in the North Kivu and South Kivu provinces, where some 80,000 people have been displaced. A ministerial statement read on Congolese television said the government will do everything to give the maximum chance for peace and allow the Congolese people as a whole, and particularly the population of North and South Kivu, to fully enjoy the benefits of peace. Thank you and God bless the Netherlands and the Democratic Republic of Congo for your help in building peaceful lives for the Congolese people. May citizens from both countries enjoy social tranquility, economic prosperity, and mutual goodwill. Coming up, the Humane Society in Washington State, USA, will build a shelter where cats have room to explore and play. We'll just give our cat a quick massage, and we'll be right back. Please stay tuned for noteworthy news on Supreme Master Television.
I'm a steer, and they're steering you wrong. Listen now.
I'm a cow,
'cause I don't have long. Our
sweet backsides
would like to stay together. We don't want to be your leather.
Won't you show me some love? Don't you make me kid gloves or a jacket or a shoe, 'cause my skin ain't for you. Do I make myself clear? Keep your hands off my.
Brilliant viewers, and welcome back to Noteworthy News, constructive news for a loving world.
Today we're gonna share a tip with you about saving energy.
It seems simple, but planting a tree in the yard is a good thing to do. One tree can offset tons of carbon over its lifetime. Isn't that so, Flippo?
Sure, Flippy. If the tree is planted properly, it also provides shade on a sunny day.
Oh, that means it can reduce the use of air conditioning in buildings and homes, right?
That's right, Flippy. So we can save some energy that way.
Oh yeah, we can even plant a fir tree and have delicious fir to eat and share with our friends.
Yippee, Flippy. That's eco-smart, sweetie. Now let's thank our viewer for tuning in today, and let's check out the weather around the globe. See you next time.
In education news, the British government has pledged 30 million lira, or 40 million euros, to help students from low-income families obtain broadband access over the next 3 years. This plan will enable students to gain access to schoolwork and educational resources, download homework and assignments, and even receive feedback from teachers while at home. It is hoped that the new technology will also help build stronger relations between parents and teachers. Hats off to the United Kingdom and heaven bless for ensuring that the children receive equal access to information.
In animal welfare news, Roger James, a retired chemist of Washington State, USA, has donated $109,000 to the Benton Franklin Humane Society. The fund is for building a no-kill facility to house and care for cats and dogs.
The Humane Society currently has a 3,700-square-foot building on a quarter-acre lot with limited running space for the dogs. The Humane Society envisions a new complex with a socialization space where cats can romp and play, kennels with outdoor dog runs, and a staff veterinarian to care for the animal's health. Thank you, Mr. Roger James, and may the Providence bless you for your generosity toward our animal co-inhabitants. A warm-hearted thanks to the Benton Franklin Humane Society for looking after our sweet and fun-loving animal friends.
Ahead on Noteworthy News is the series of Shining World Leadership presenting enlightened leadership around the globe. Stay tuned for today's Shining World Leadership segment featuring Moni Pasakantando, an 8-year-old girl who is doing her best to save the magnificent polar bear. We'll thank God for creating all of our animal friends and be right back. More positive news when we return here on Supreme Master Television.
Welcome back to Noteworthy News, constructive news for a safer world. And now for our series of Shining World Leadership segment featuring 8-year-old environmental activist Moni Pasakantando, who believes that we can all help to lessen the effects of global warming.
For decades, Supreme Master Ching Hai has exemplified unconditional love through her worldwide humanitarian work. She has inspired our association members and countless people across the globe to follow her compassionate example. Through enlightened leadership, a better world is truly possible. In recent times, a new and exciting phenomenon has been on the rise that is bringing much hope and light to our planet. More and more leaders and governments around the world are adopting practices that greatly improve the lives of their citizens, man and animal alike.
Moni Pasakantando is an 8-year-old girl from Virginia, USA. Moni became concerned after she read an article about the Arctic ice melting and the effect that it would have on the polar bears. Moni decided to do whatever she could to save these beautiful animals. She and some of her friends made signs that said, "Stop global warming. Save the polar bears." They walked around the school playground at recess time carrying the placards.
She started a blog, which is an internet page to share ideas and experiences, and asked people to write letters to the Fish and Wildlife Service to request that polar bears be placed on the endangered species list. On her blog, Moni said, "I hope that you get the chance to write a letter and save the polar bears. If we increase awareness about the polar bears being endangered, then will probably increase awareness of global warming too. And if we increase awareness about global warming and do something about it, then many animals will be stopped from extinction. So once you have written a letter, you know that you have made a difference. After Molly accumulated more than 200 letters, she and her mom personally took them to the Fish and Wildlife Service.
Lisa Guide, Molly's mother, said, "I've heard from friends and work colleagues around the country that global warming is a subject that can be stressful to children. Molly was so concerned, we really felt it was important to help her do something constructive."
Molly was an invited speaker at a meeting in Washington, D.C. for Climate Crisis Day of Action in March 2007. She intends to keep up the work to reduce the effects of global warming and protect the animals. Molly was the recipient of the 2007 International Young Eco Hero Awards presented by Action for Nature.
Thank you, Molly. God bless your loving efforts to save our animal friends and beautiful planet. We pray that people, regardless of age, will heed your clear voice and take every action possible. Working together, we can still preserve the Earth and its citizens.
We now invite you to listen to a joke told by Supreme Master Ching Hai entitled Lucky Day.
John was riding a bicycle, and because he was not careful, he hit a pedestrian. He helped the victim stand up and said, "Hey man, you are really lucky today." The pedestrian was absolutely furious and said, "You are truly horrible to say such a thing, that I'm lucky after hitting me with your bicycle. See how my leg is bruised here?" John said, "Surely you're lucky. Today is my day off. Otherwise, I would have been driving a heavy truck."
And now for our viewer's heartline. This message came from Muhammad of Pakistan. He wrote,
"Hi, I've been watching your satellite channel on C-band on PAS 10. I'm very much interested in learning the meditation. Please let me know whom I can contact. I currently reside in Islamabad, Pakistan. Sincerely, Muhammad."
Peace-loving Muhammad, thank you for sharing your interest in learning the Kuan Yin method of meditation. We have relayed your message. Best wishes with all your noble and spiritual endeavors. May you be graced by the pure light of divinity.
Do you have a heartline today? We sure do appreciate your comments and positive stories. So if you would like to share them with us, please send them to info@suprememastertv.com or to the address on the screen. Supreme Master Television is available all around the world, any day of the year and any time of day.
Gud velsign Nilsa, that is God bless in Norwegian.
May your days be blessed with heavenly joy and harmony. Farewell for now.